Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this morning. Thank you for just the privilege and the opportunity for us to be able to gather together and to learn from your word and to be able to fellowship and to love one another well, Lord, through it, Lord. So we just thank you. I pray that, my words will be just clear and that will be communicated well so that we can all grow together as sisters in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, so are you a good listener? I hope so, because after the session, I'm going to give you a 10-question quiz on how well you listened. Just kidding. No, I'm not going to do that. But maybe you do consider yourself as a good listener. But what about when your mother is talking to you? Or that, you know, that friend who always have the same problem over and over. Or your child who's constantly saying, "Mom, mom, mom, mom," you know, trying to get your attention. Or what about that person at church who is hard to relate to and talk to, and they kind of talk about things that you're really not that interested in. Or the non-believing friend who has a totally different view on life, value, or politics. You know, God placed all of us in a community, a church, and a family to be in relationships. Unless you want to live on an island by yourself, relationships are not optional. It is a part of our everyday life, especially in our church life. Relationships are formed through knowledge of one another. We can't say that we have a relationship with someone without knowing them. And knowing someone requires communication. So listening and responding are, in a sense, building blocks of relationships which help us to love others well. So the late David Pallison said this in one of his journals written for biblical counseling. He said, "Listen so you'll understand. Understand so you'll be able to talk well-aimed words of life. So you'll know how to love." So the goal for us today in learning about thoughtful listening and responding is love, because God calls us to love him, and then God calls us to love one another. And these two commands give us the overarching principle of our Christian living. So key idea for today is our call to love others well requires thoughtful listening and responding. So the first idea is thoughtful listening. Proverbs 18:13 says, "If one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame." This is a wisdom given to us to listen well before speaking. It says, "As fools blur out opinions before listening to the matter carefully, which leads to foolishness and shame." The context of this verse is most likely in a court setting. Before a judge or jury can rule on a case, they need to hear all the relevant evidence and testimony. Otherwise, it would be foolish or shameful to make a decision. This is true in our everyday interactions with people as well. But so often, we judge, we rule, or find someone guilty or innocent without hearing them out thoughtfully. One should listen well before speaking. Even James talks about how we need to be quick to listen to God's word so that we can grow in godliness. And many times in the Bible, God commands us to listen. He'll say, "Hear, O Israel." He says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." He also talks about how faith comes from hearing. He'll also say, "My sheep hear my voice." Whoever is of God hears the words of God. So God talks to us through his word, and we are to respond to God based upon what we have heard from him. Our relationship with God grows through listening to him, and this can be applied in our relationship with others as well. We can know and love our neighbors better through thoughtful listening. And just as we can love God by listening to him, we can love others by listening to them. So thoughtful listening, therefore, is an act of love. Dietrich Bonhoeffer put it this way: Just as love to God begins with listening to his word, so the beginning of love for brethren is learning to listen to them. So listening affirms that we love and care for others enough to take the time and energy to be there for them. And Pastor Kim often tells us that we can't love someone who we don't know. And I just love that Mel this morning also talked about how Jen Wilkins said the heart cannot love what the mind does not know. So we can't know someone without being a good listener. Yes, listening takes time and energy, and it is one of the best, yet it is one of the best ways to love others, because when we listen, we affirm their existence and their value in our lives. We're telling them with our action that we love and care for them and that we want to understand and know them. So a coworker who pauses to ask and listen to how he or she is doing, maybe a parent who stops what you're doing to listen to your child, even when it's probably not important to you, maybe a friend who follows up on previous shared situation, or someone at church who stops to see how an older or a younger person, totally not in your, maybe not in the same season of life, is doing just to get to know them. Each of these acknowledges the person and affirms that you care and love them. So for me, there have been many different reasons why I want to be heard. Sometimes it's a struggle. Sometimes it's confusion. Sometimes it's my sin. Sometimes it's joys of life. And sometimes I need advice. Sometimes I just need a shoulder to cry on. Sometimes I need empathy. Whatever the reason, I know that I'm loved by the people who hear me out. Sometimes they respond with what I need to hear, but other times they're just there. They're just there to listen to my heart. And for that alone, I'm so grateful. And I want to learn to be that person for others in my life as well. So there are many ways to listen thoughtfully, but I just wanted to share a couple ways that God has been teaching me. I feel that these two ways cover not all of, but kind of a lot of how-tos in becoming a good listener. 1 Corinthians 13:4 said, and Mel also mentioned it this morning, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant. And since listening is an act of love, we can display love in our listening. So first way that we can love is listen with patience. Listen with patience. Love is patient. Ken Sandy, in his book, The Peacemaker, said, waiting patiently while others talk is a key listening skill. Without this skill, you will often fail to understand. So oftentimes, I think I'm impatient in my listening. I'm more interested in giving my opinion on a matter more than wanting to hear others out. So I start to listen kind of half-heartedly because I'm busy formulating my own thoughts, or I interrupt to say something or jump to conclusions without the whole story. Or I just want to fix the problem and be done, or I'm distracted because I need to be somewhere or go do something else. A patient listener, however, will create a safe, unhurried space for the other person to express their thoughts. This means I listen to understand their thoughts, not to express my own thoughts. I listen to the whole story without interrupting or concluding. I listen with full attention without distraction, and I ask a question to patiently draw out their heart, even if it takes more time and effort. If I say to someone, "How are you doing?" in passing without stopping to listen, I don't really want to know how they're doing. If I'm impatient in my listening, I don't really want to listen to what they are saying. I just want to say what I want to say and go about my life. Bonhoeffer put it again this way, a kind of listening with half an ear that presumes already to know what the other person has to say is an impatient, inattentive listening. Anyone who thinks that his time is too valuable to spend keeping quiet will eventually have no time for God and his brothers, but only for himself and for his own follies. This is so humbling because I'm impatient in so many ways and therefore tend to fall short in this area of listening as well. But as I practice patience in my life, I hope that God will help me to grow in becoming a thoughtful listener who can love the people he has surrounded me with well. So second way after patience, the second way in becoming a thoughtful listener is to listen with humility. Listen with humility. Not only is love patient, but love is not arrogant or not proud. A thoughtful listener takes interest in others and affirms their importance, which the Bible says takes humility. Philippians 2:3-5 says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." Thoughtful listening comes from having the mindset of Christ, who humbly counted us more significant than himself and looked to our interests. Counted us more important and significant than himself and looked to our interests that he sacrificed himself for us. Unfortunately, we are often too preoccupied with ourselves that even in our listening, we listen with judgment because we are self-righteous and they're obviously in sin or not doing things my way or interpreting the Bible incorrectly. We listen with disagreement because my view is better or right and I need to make my view clearly known. We listen with jealousy instead of joy or rejoicing with them because my life is not as good. How come they get to do this or that? Or why are they being asked to do that when they are not even that good at it and I'm better? We listen to respond with what would make me look good instead of listening to really understand their view and what would be best for them. We listen just to find similar situations to share for my life instead of simply making it about them. When we do this, we're not listening because we genuinely care about their interests, but more about ours. A thoughtful listener will put aside self and patiently, attentively, and sacrificially be there for the other person. And when we take our eyes off of us, we can humbly take a genuine interest in others, which will lead us to listen thoughtfully to understanding and loving them better. We don't want to be fools who take no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing our opinions. Alan Ross commented in Proverbs 18:13 in this way, "Poor listening reveals that the person has a low regard for what the other is saying or is too absorbed in self-importance." Low regard for others and absorbed in self-importance is self-love, not loving others. So becoming a thoughtful listener won't happen overnight. It's a process that requires intentional patience and humility. I honestly struggle with this area when it comes to my family. Maybe I was asked to speak on this subject because people think that I'm a good listener as a friend or a discipler and that I try to point them to Christ in my responses. But when it comes to my family, I tend to choose to love myself over them. You know, there are many moments when I interrupt and respond in ways that are proud and selfish. I'm more interested in getting my point across rather than wanting to hear their point or opinion or what's going on in their lives. You know, I love my family more than anything in this world, yet I'm choosing at that moment to not be loving by being impatient and proud because I'm not thoughtful in my listening to them. I'm just interested in just giving them my own opinion. So when I told Jason and our daughter Taylor that the women's ministry asked me to speak on this topic, they both literally laughed in my face. And they said, you know, they asked you to speak on this, you know, and it's so humbling when your loved ones are honest with you. And by the way, their response was not loving. So that's an example. But this shows me that I'm far from being a thoughtful listener and that God is telling me that I need to grow in this area. And my daughter Taylor later gave me a backhanded compliment and told me that, oh, you know, Mom, you're good when it comes to like your friends or other people. But this is an area that we can all choose to grow in. Some might be already better than others, but we are not stuck where we are. We can learn to grow to become better listeners as we grow to practice patience and humility in our acts of love. I love how David Matus put it. He said, good listening is a great means of grace in the dynamic of true Christian fellowship. Not only is it a channel through which God continues to pour his grace into our lives, but it's also his way of using us as his means of grace in the lives of others. It may be one of the hardest things we learn to do, but we will find it worth every ounce of effort. So do you consider yourself as a thoughtful listener? Are you choosing to love others in your life by being patient and humble in your listening? You know, not only does our call to love others well require thoughtful listening, but it also requires thoughtful responding, which is our second idea this morning. Responding cannot be done well without the listening, and so that's why it's important to accomplish the listening before we respond. Responding requires something to respond to, and therefore we need to know and understand what that is. So thoughtful listening, I chose the Ephesians 4:29 passage. It says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And Paul, in this chapter, talks about the new life in Christ and the change from the old self before salvation to the new self after salvation. How we need to put off the old ways of life and to put on the new ways. And one of the examples of this is our responses to others, that we need to put off corrupting talk, which is used for like corrupting as in fruit that is like rotting, and to put on the words of grace, which is fruitful and loving. He talks about three things to consider when it comes to responding. First, he says in our response, it should be good for building up, good for building up. Thoughtful response will be other-centered rather than self-centered. It should be shaped by who we are talking to and how it will be fruitful to building them up rather than being shaped by self-interest, like what would make me look good, what's the most convenient response for me, or how would this help me? It is important for us to know and understand the person so that we can respond in a way that's helpful for that person. Caroline Neuheiser said in her book, When Words Matter Most, she said, we must seek to know and understand those we love and the burdens they carry so that our words will be meaningful, relevant, and helpful. And this Ephesians verse calls it good for building up. Although we have different levels of knowing people, if we are thoughtful in our listening, we'll get to know them and their situation better and able to respond to them in a way that builds them up specifically. So for example, you know, my response to a non-Christian friend will be different than to a Christian friend. My response to a child in my one-year-old class will be different than my 16-year-old son who's a teenager or my 18-year-old daughter. My response to a new believer friend will be different than a mature believer friend. I need to consider the person and respond in a way that builds each of them. Pastor Gavin just talked about this a few Sundays ago, about speech being, our speech needs to be seasoned to be able to answer each person. So for a non-believer, our response might be love and support coupled with the good news of Jesus, as ultimately knowing Jesus is going to be the most helpful to them. For a mature believer, it may be biblical hope or encouragement, correction, or truth, depending on the situation. For a one-year-old, it may be physical love, comfort, behavior correction, or showing just by being a good example to them. For a teenager, it may be addressing their heart issue and affirming their godly character. So when we are responding, we need to consider the person we are talking with and what's best for them. We should be mindful in our responses that what builds them up is ultimately going to help them to become more like Jesus. We're not just trying to puff them up in a worldly sense to make them feel better or feel good about themselves or to make us feel good about ourselves for making them feel good. You know, our response should move them towards Jesus and encourage them to be more like Jesus. But the secondly, our response should fit the occasion. Fit the occasion. What is the situation they are in and what type of response do they need? Thoughtful listening is especially important in considering the situation. We want to understand where they're at so that we can thoughtfully respond to their needs. Do they need praise, encouragement, hope, rebuke, admonition, wisdom, direction, warning, affirmation? Our response should be thoughtful to address according to their needs. Though what we say might be true and wholesome, it may not be helpful to the situation that one might be in. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 gives us a good example of this, as it says, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, and be patient with everyone. Are they sharing good news with you? Rejoice with them and praise God for it instead of being jealous or judgmental. Be excited about the joys in their lives with them. Are they in sin? Lead them to repentance with a reminder of God's kindness, gentleness, and steadfast love. You know, we don't want to feed their sin and encourage it, but we also don't want to beat them over the head to make them feel guilty. Are they going through a trial? Help them to trust in God who is sovereign, good, and loving. Are they struggling to make a decision? Pray with them for wisdom and point them to, for example, Pastor Kim's sermon on discerning God's will, which is super helpful in making decisions. Are they grieving a loss? Grieve with them, be present, hug them, and remind them you are available and are in prayer. When we do this well, genuine care and love will be displayed, even if we might not do it perfectly. And God will be honored by our efforts in loving others well through it. A quick example of this in my life was I was extremely angry one time with one of my kids. And it was like, I was like, this teenager is so selfish. And I was just like really, really, I can't remember the last time I was that angry. And I was like so upset. And, you know, I kind of like acted like actually a teenager and just like, I was like, I can't look at you. And I just like ran off. And then I went into my room and closed the door, you know. And then right at that moment, God graciously, providentially had someone call me, a friend call me. And, you know, nowadays we don't call each other. We just text each other. But for whatever reason, she just decided to call me. So at that moment, I was like, I am so upset. I'm so angry right now. And, you know, I like explained the whole situation to her. And, you know, what she did really well was that she just sat there and listened. She first listened to me really well. And then she made sure to respond to fit the occasion. You know, she reminded me that Pastor Kim always says that their sin does not make my sin not a sin. That was super humbling. And then told me that, you know, she empathized with me because she also has a teenager, so she understands what I'm going through. But then she, asked me to, you know, just pray about this and make sure you don't respond with anger and just, you know, go talk to your child. And I just thought that was such a good example at that right moment where she not only listened to me well, but then she knows me, so she knew how to respond to me specifically, and then also to fit just what was going on in my life. So, I think that it would be awesome if we can all grow to be that kind of a friend to other people. Okay. Thirdly, it says, give grace to those who hear. Okay, this is like last point, but not least. We want to think through the process of our response. We need to respond in a way that gives grace to those who hear. So grace here denotes divine favor. You know, for by grace we have been saved, not because of what we did, but as a favor or gift from God because of his love. So to give grace to those who hear means that we should display the kind of grace that God showed us. It means to be kind, gentle, compassionate, sensitive, thoughtful, truthful, edifying, and spiritual, so that what they hear from us will be pleasant, charming, and attractive, not only to those who we feel like deserve this grace, but more to those who don't, because that's what grace is. You know, we want to draw them toward us in our response rather than to drive them away from us. So when we draw them toward us, we can then point them to Christ, who is the ultimate grace. It's like the 1 Corinthians passage that talks about how if we speak in the tongues of angels without love, we are noisy gong or clinging cymbal. You know, I would say that if we respond to build with fitting words but without grace, then we are a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal to those who hear. And man, this is so true in my life. I know that every time I talk to my son, all he hears is gong, 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 clang, clang, clang. I mean, literally, that's all he hears from me. And not because I'm saying things that are not relevant, but because of the way I'm saying it to him. You know, sometimes I just want to give up and just be like, you know, I'll just let Jason deal with him, you know, because, like, I can't get through him kind of thing. You know, I feel like I've already failed because, like, he doesn't listen because all he hears is gong, 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 you know, from me. But, you know, Christian walk is work. You know, it's we're all works in progress, right? And God honors our efforts and can and will change us to be more like Jesus. You know, I have been intentional in my efforts to redeem this through sharing with my accountability so that they can pray for me and that they can encourage me. And when you, like, share your struggles with someone, it makes you more conscious and intentional in my interactions, you know, with my son now. And when I study and think upon Jesus and his interactions with me, I gain hope knowing that he started a good work in my life and my heart, and that he will continue to help me and can help all of us in our efforts, even though we fail sometimes. You know, I think I tend to do this with my family because I feel like my husband and my kids are like, you know, they're big people. They should be able to handle the truth without it being like sugar-coated. You know, I don't need to coddle them and make them feel good in the process, right, when I'm communicating with them. But if you look at Jesus and his interactions with others, he was always gentle and gracious. You know, he was able to convey, convict, and challenge without having to be harsh, blunt, or raw. He is gentle and lowly in heart, and he displayed that in the ways that he responded to others. And I think, thankfully, for me, our son, he can't, like, physically go away from me right now. So, you know, God is allowing me, he's giving me the opportunity to continue to work on my process with him. But, you know, I'm saddened to think that maybe I may have driven some others away from me and from Jesus because I didn't give grace in my responses to them. And here, like, when I'm talking about grace, I think I'm focusing more on giving grace through gracious speech. But at the same time, if we are loving in our speech but fail to give them truth by pointing them to Christ, then we have failed to give grace in that manner too. So there's kind of a two sides. There's like the gracious speech, but also giving grace with what you say. So I think we need to speak the truth also in love, and they all kind of talked about that. So for example, we don't want to agree and affirm if what they are doing or saying is not good or sinful, because that's not loving, right? You know, kind of goes back to the point, building up and fit the occasion. So I think you guys kind of get the point that, like, we're not to just agree with them and just affirm them if it's not good. We do need to speak truth to them, but we want to do it in a manner that's loving. So our response should always point us others to Christ in manner and in content. It should drive others to want to know Christ or know him more if you're already a believer. You know, this will give grace to those who hear. You know, in talking about grace, I also want to say that we need to give grace to those who are responding to us, because, you know, we are for sure going to mess up, you know, when we respond to others. We're not perfect, and we can't know everyone and every situation perfectly. And since we are all growing and trying, you know, we need to give grace to each other. Don't just cut off your relationship just because they said the wrong thing or didn't meet your exact need. But let's be gracious and forgiving to those who are trying to be there for you and to support you. And we can't all do it perfectly. So we need to communicate truths that build up each person specifically and address their situation fittingly. But we need to remember that the process is just as important as the content. So does your response to others graciously build them up through fitting words that point them to Christ? So in conclusion, our call to love others well in our lives is to be thoughtful in our listening and responding. This call is not easy because we are prone to love ourselves more than others. But just as God is growing us in our other areas of our lives, he can grow us in this area as well. We just need to practice it. You know, next time you're talking with someone, be mindful of your thoughts and tendencies. See if you're impatient. See if you feel the urge to interrupt. Examine your thoughts as you listen. Evaluate the distractions while you listen. And above all, have a heart to love and care for them. You know, I have met so many people who are good at this, and a lot of them are counselors. They're so patient in their listening, and they're so apt in their responses. But they weren't born like that. You know, they practice and learn to be this way. And we too can grow in these areas by taking the courage to continue to invest and interact with others instead of shying away from it because it's just too hard. You know, we may not formally counsel people, but we are all counselors to someone in our lives. God has blessed me abundantly with people who thoughtfully listened and responded to me over the years, and they have encouraged me to become like them by being the same for others. You know, years ago, I asked a lady at our church who was just a season of life ahead of me to disciple me. You know, I didn't know her very well at all, and she didn't know me at all. But she graciously accepted my invitation and has over the years been so thoughtful with her ears and her mouth in my life. She simply accepted a call to love me well by agreeing to disciple me and to exemplify what it means to be a person who is thoughtful and listening and responding to meet my needs. Did she think that she will be a perfect disciple to me who will always perfectly know how to communicate? Probably not, because none of us can do this perfectly. But we have the greatest example in Christ, and he can grow us and use us if we are willing. So let's humbly accept the call to invest in the lives of others and practice and grow to love them well in our listening and in our responding. Okay, let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for your word and just how it equips us in just even little things in life, even in just in our relationship, how we can grow in listening and in responding through watching your example and the way you have just listened and responded to us, Lord. So help us to continue to grow in our interactions with others and help us to simply just invest time in just getting to know others and to building relationships so that we can continue to practice becoming more like Christ in our lives, Lord. So we thank you for this time. In your name I pray. Amen.